Hello, this is Rick Meiring, and I'm going to read from 2 Corinthians 13, right at the end, verses 11 through 13. There is a final verse that I'll throw in there, but I'm not speaking on that much. So 2 Corinthians 13, 11 through 14, the end, the final greeting from Paul in this letter. Dear brothers and sisters, I close my letter with these last words. Be joyful. Grow to maturity, encourage each other, live in harmony and peace. Then the God of love and peace will be with you. Greet each other with a sacred kiss. All of God's people here send their greetings. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. So that's a very nice end note from Paul in his letter. I think the idea of a holy kiss is not really something that's part of our culture these days, but I think the idea he was getting behind there is kind of a sincerity or an agape love for one another, just showing community and kindness towards one another. But otherwise, we'll avoid the holy kiss situation and move on to some other topics of joy and choosing joy, and I'll just share a few thoughts that I have on that. So something that came to mind when I was thinking about Paul writing from, you know, possibly a prison far away and kind of being in disharmony with this community, something that comes to mind is I watch Survivor a lot with my family. We love the show Survivor on CBS, and we watch a lot of it, and there's a current season going on. There's a character on there, a person, his name is Banu. And Banu and I come from different religions. He, I believe, grew up in India till he was 18 in a hut that had just a dirt floor. And he's very different from a lot of the other players, a lot of the American players. Even culturally, he doesn't necessarily understand some of the phrases that people use. And really, in the game of Survivor, which includes fibbing to people and manipulating and kind of some fun within the game, Banu just really isn't, you know, cut from that cloth of deceit. He's just kind of an innocent guy. He's different. And if you're ever in education and you're a teacher and you are looking for what happened on the recess field, you knew you could always have that one student that could just tell you everything that happened. Like, okay, Johnny pulled Stacy's hair first, which is why she shoved him away, and that's how everything went down. You had to have this student that was able to tell you everything that was going on, and that's what Banu does in the game of Survivor. They would talk to him, his teammates, like, you have to be reserved. You can't tell everything that's going on. They would even use a phrase that is pretty classic in America. You got to know when to hold them and when to fold them. This is like a poker phrase about playing cards. You got to know when to hold them, know when to fold them, know when to walk away. Okay, we'll save Kenny for another time, maybe a future karaoke contest. But for now, know that Banu had a hard time knowing the difference between hold'em and fold'em. He tends to just fold. He's a different guy, and he was really down on himself in the third episode of Survivor most recently. And he's such a goofy guy that even his self-deprecating words and names for himself are just cute and funny. He says, I am a wackadoodle. He's talking to his friend Q. I am a wackadoodle. And Q says, wackadoodles win. And I just think back to Paul talking to the Corinthians and either feeling maybe like an outsider or different himself, or speaking to those that are feeling like outsiders. And I feel like if I were summing up this whole kind of 13 chapters of this letter of Paul, and I can't really sum up the whole thing, but some of the themes that I'm hearing are there's differences within the community. There's different teachers that are saying different things about Paul. And Paul and them had something wonderful going on, and now there's been friction. And Paul's really trying to kind of bring that back together and bring the community together. And I think what he's really getting at is that there are no outsiders. There is no deceit or comparison or othering. Yes, we've had our differences, but there is just us. We are all sons and daughters of the light in Christ Jesus. And I think that's what Paul is trying to drive home. It makes me think back to, in the last 2 years, I did some therapy while I was at my old job. And a few of the truths for me that came out that my therapist had me repeat was, I have the right to self-care, whether you like it or not. I have the right to self-care, whether you like it or not. And I thought I had to say that phrase to really a lot of my coworkers, maybe some of my family members. that I thought others were holding me back from caring for myself. And not in an egotistical way, like making the whole world work for me, but really just honestly loving my heart, possibly in the way that Jesus and God and even Paul here tells us to love ourselves, to care for ourselves, to know that we are sons and daughters of the light, that we are redeemed by Jesus Christ. And when we forget that, we can get really down on ourselves. We can call ourselves a wackadoodle. And so that therapy session was really interesting and helpful for me because it started getting emotional when he made me repeat this phrase 3 times. And I realized that I was the one, as in my way, as anybody else, of my self-care or me taking care of myself. And that was a really good lesson for me. My wife even said to me this morning, as I was walking out to come and record this, "Rick, you are worthy of your own love." It was a phrase that a friend of hers shared with her most recently. You are worthy of your own love. And I think that's kind of the mindset that Paul is calling us to. And I really think that God and Jesus call us to, that you are loved. You are my cherished son or daughter. And if I love you, then care for yourself and love yourself. And that's hard to remember, but letters and scriptures help. And so just going back to the scripture here on 2 Corinthians, the word that stood out to me was joy. In there, he said, "Be joyful." I close my letters with these last words: be joyful, grow to maturity, encourage each other, live in harmony and peace. Well, as a 9 on the Enneagram who lives for harmony and peace and tries to avoid all sorts of conflict, which is why I was avoiding this 2 Corinthians passage, because there's so much conflict in it for Paul and that community, this is music to my ears. Being in harmony and loving one another and choosing joy, these are all really beautiful statements. How it kind of hits home for me is earlier this week, we went to a funeral for my wife Sherry's grandmother. In her later years, she had succumbed to dementia, and she still had this smile on her face. She had this hum as well. Anytime you'd be like walking around her, you'd like, if things were still in the room, one thing you could hear is like, hum, 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 hum. And most likely she was just singing a lovely hymn from learning in church all the time almost. So always a smile and always humming. And that's the way she lived her life as well. She was a woman who had had plenty of trials. She had plenty of reasons that she could have chosen a different kind of feeling to wear other than joy. She could have been bitter, sad, overwhelmed, or resentful, especially having lost a husband when she had 4 young children. She could have gone a lot of different routes, but she chose joy. She always had a smile on her face, and she chose to show God's kindness and love, and to live that love to others. And that was a real testament, just going to that funeral, remembering her, and remembering some good examples of what it looks like for us to wear the face of joy, like Paul is calling us to. After all of the misunderstandings and the disagreements are done, what does it look like to choose joy? And Sherry's father kind of finished with some thoughts at the funeral on this. And so I'm just going to kind of share the end of some of his speech on the topic of joy. And he's talking about her singing songs. What was going on inside of her every day? The answer was very clear if you just sang songs with her. Mom loved to sing, and we did a lot of it as a family. But if you sang with her, it wasn't long before her eyes would close and she was just praising her Lord from the bottom of her heart and just worshiping him. Her Lord that had been her strength in good times, but also in really hard times. So Mom's whole life was an endless sermon on God's love for us. Mom lived out the saying, "Preach the gospel at all times, and if necessary, use words." Today, may you take the words of Paul and take the testament of those who have gone before us to live with joy, to encourage one another, and to live in harmony and peace. And sometimes that may take a very hard conversation that you want to avoid, but in the end, you will show love to one another, and God's love will prevail in this world. Thank you for listening.